Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and today we're going to be talking to Christine Sakuda. She's the Chief Information Officer for the State of Hawaii. And we also have Thelma Elaine, who is the Event Coordinator, and we're going to be talking about the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. So I want to welcome you both, Christine and Thelma, to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Bert. Nice to be here.
Yeah. And okay, so just so that I can remember the number of Hawaii Annual Code Challenges, which is also referred to as a hack, this is, number 9? Is that correct?
So that is correct.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Wow. You know, I actually walked it back the number of years, and I think it was, 2016?
2016.
Woohoo! Yeah. And, you know, we've got Christine Sakuda, and Christine has been part of the hack from the very beginning, as well as Thelma. And Christine, you're in a new role right now, right? Before, when we first started, you were with Transform Hawaii Gov doing a lot of the sort of advocating for, you know, IT modernization, working quite a bit with, you know, the folks over at ETS, which is Enterprise Technology Services. And you're in a new position now, and a great new title, right? Chief Information Officer for the very group you're advocating support for.
Yes. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Bert. Yes. And it's, you know, I started in August. I think I'm in my 8th week or so.
Right.
And have really enjoyed getting to know everyone here and, you know, serving in this new role as the state CIO.
And, you know, it's interesting to have you in this sort of new position, and it's a great honor to have you on. And, you know, when we first started the Transform Hawaii Gov was a key architect, you know, a key sponsor, a key advocate for, you know, for the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. And ETS has always been, you know, the sponsor, because it was sort of positioned in such a way that, you know, from a state standpoint, right, the IT department was the sponsor looking to encourage some of these prototypes and development of applications that could potentially be used. And so you've been there from the very beginning, and maybe over the course of this interview we can talk a little bit about the sort of like the evolution of how you saw it at the very beginning, and now you are seeing it as probably the person that is not only a judge but probably the key person receiving a lot of these prototypes. So anyway, I'm interested to hear, you know, your new perspective on, you know, the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge.
Well, thank you. And, you know, one of the things that I really have enjoyed over the years about the Code Challenge is this opportunity for public sector, so it could be city and county or state departments and programs that have challenges that they want to solve, community-based challenges. Maybe those challenges involve understanding a lot of data, and then partnering with the community, the civic tech community, to help solve those challenges. And so the hack is a great intersection of bringing together both the public and private sector to help solve these, you know, these challenges across the state. And it's just amazing that it's been going on for 9 years now.
Well, and not to mention the fact that, you know, I've had both you and Thelma on the show talking about the Code Challenge. But, you know, in this new role of yours, I think you take on a different sort of perspective, right? Because as a sponsor, you know, as a supporter through Transform Hawaii Gov, you encourage the public to get involved. Now, as the CIO, do you have another role too, right? Because you actually have a department like ETS that is supporting, you know, the delivery of the Code Challenge. And so how is it that it might be different from the inside? You know, what role perhaps does the department now take with you now on the inside?
Oh, good question. I mean, when I was at Transform Hawaii Government, yes, you're correct. We were big advocates of modernization. We really tried hard to promote all the success that goes on within the state and some of the challenges that we have to work on collectively in service of the people of Hawaii. And so now that I'm inside of ETS, the Office of Enterprise Technology Services, it's just a great opportunity to celebrate programs like the Hack and continue to support programs like the Hack. You know, it's a forum for really discovering talent, you know, inspiring tech talent in the state to experience challenges, mm-hmm. you know, and problem solving of state challenges, you know, and whether they end up joining the state, which has been the case in, you know, in some cases, or they take their experience, the teams take their experience that they have through the code challenge process, you know, and put that on their resume and share that with, you know, the broader tech community when they apply for jobs. It has been very rewarding to really see the continued success of the Hack and to see how the tech workforce has really appreciated something like the Code Challenge as a venue to really amplify, you know, the value of civic tech mm-hmm. in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good segue for me to bring Thelma into this conversation, because Thelma, you've been doing this from the very beginning too. And, you know, when Christine talks about, you know, the some of the value that the Hack process kind of brings to the community, there's a number of things that happen over the course of the whole month. This is not a typical, you know, 3-day, 24, 48-hour hackathon. This is like a good, 4 to 5 weeks. And there's a series of things. And I guess I want Thelma to have you point out, what are some of the workshops that get presented that either could be from, you know, vendors, it could be subject matter experts. What is it that, how did you go about selecting these particular workshops and emphasizing the topic, you know, that's of interest?
We have two criteria now. In the past, our criteria was tech training.
Mm-hmm.
We've innovated this year, and we're trying to add in professional development courses as well, so that there was an experience at last year's challenge. This is the first time in 3 years that we had a presentation in person, and a young professional mm-hmm. woman got up, they did a beautiful coding solution, and they got up and she got so nervous she kind of blew her presentation. And it was the epiphany for me that we needed to get not just tech training but the soft skills out there.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
For example, Verizon held a resume writing and interview training workshop. We're going to be having a slightly different version of the pitch training this year. We're going to have it more oriented towards creating the pitch and delivering it, where we normally would be like kind of a more like an investor pitch. So we're going to be doing that a little different this year to kind of give people polish.
Mm-hmm,
we
mm-hmm.
also, we had a Google workshop on AI. Salesforce is doing a workshop on AI. Because we know that AI is really powerful these days. Tyler Hawaii is teaching a class on short-term success and long-term relationships, which is about asking the right questions and figuring out how to be collaborative with your part with the potential people.
Mm-hmm.
eWorld is doing a serverless web application, and a new workshop this year during the interim is Agile Planning. That's going to be produced by Pi Hawaii. And then we have our securities one and our pitch training as we have in the past. So you see, we're trying to get not just people who have keep up abreast of the tech training. The new AI is really hot this year, right, for everything. We're still trying to make sure that once they know how to create something, they know how to ask the right questions, and they know how to deliver the solutions,
so
at least the proposals.
So tell me, you actually kind of ran through maybe close to 10 or 12 workshops. And I do want to give you a chance to kind of lay out the timeline, because we're still just getting started, right? The kickoff hasn't happened yet. So all of the stuff that you've just described is what is planned over the course of, you know, this 4 to 5 week period. So I want to have you hold that thought, because we'll be back right after this short break to continue our conversation with Christine Sakuta, Chief Information Officer for the State of Hawaii, along with Thelma Lane, the Event Coordinator for the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors, Bavarian Motor Experts, and Chaminade University.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Christine Sakuta, Chief Information Officer for the State of Hawaii. And we also have Thelma Lane, who is the Event Coordinator for the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. Both women have been a part of the Code Challenge from the very beginning. And this is in a 9-year running. And I think that's quite impressive, given the fact that it's actually kind of survived and continues in a new administration. You know, this started in Governor Ige's administration, and now, you know, we're in Governor Josh Green's administration, and it's great to see a program like this kind of continue on. And so, Christine, you know, this is something that hasn't quite started yet, because the kickoff is, what is the official kickoff date?
The official kickoff date is, let's see, when is the official kickoff date?
You mean October 12th.
October 12th, yes.
Right, that's a Saturday. So, Chris, Christine, are you going to be a part of the kickoff? I mean, what role do you play actually kicking this event off?
Well, I'm definitely going to be there, and I am excited to, you know, meet everyone, convene everyone, and really just celebrate the gathering of the vendors, the culmination of the work of key workshops. ETS is there to really support, you know, the kickoff day, and really welcome everyone, you know, and really hope that the teams that decide to work on challenges give them the full support that we have, which has started with the workshops, you know, and then encourage them to continue through and look forward to the presentations that actually occur on Judging and Presentation Day on November 16th.
Right, right. And Thelma, so, you know, when the hack first started, we all got into an auditorium. I think it was over at the Aloha Tower Marketplace, and went on stage and actually, you know, did sort of like these the challenge pitches, right? Every department, I think you might have had, I don't know, a dozen of them go up and talk about, you know, what kind of problem you wanted to have get solved. But the actual in-person kind of kickoff event really went virtual, primarily because of the pandemic. But then as we are now pretty much out of the pandemic, I guess the kickoff is still virtual, is still over Zoom. So how has the dynamic of it being virtual still, how do you create the environment where, you know, you have this sort of sense of camaraderie and you know, people are showing up to, you know, listen to these challenges and then consequently, right, form teams to try to act, you know, bring together whatever resources people have and then address the challenge that's in front of them. How do you translate that into this sort of virtual world? Or, yeah, what's your secret sauce to that?
What we found is having the kickoff virtual encouraged people to participate from non-Oahu Island.
Okay,
Maui,
okay, that's a good
Island,
point. Right.
Kauai.
Right, right.
That's one of the reasons why we kept it in place after the pandemic was over.
Okay.
So what we do is we have it, you know, we do all the presentations in the morning, but also gives us a recording so that if somebody missed the kickoff, they can go back and look at the various pitches. And look at all the materials. And then the afternoon, we do some workshops, some trainings. And then the majority of the afternoon is dedicated to breakout rooms, Zoom breakout rooms, where people can go and have conversations with the various challenge authors and ask them questions, kind of pick their brains so that they can start deciding which challenge they really want to tackle. So that's worked out really well. I kind of campaigned very hard last year to go back to having the presentation in person. I'm very glad I did that. People were thrilled to do it in person. And the presentations have to be in person. So what we're trying to do is, if anybody from the neighbor islands make it to, we go through a tech review with you. We can talk about that more if you want. We go through a tech review, and if they achieve the tech review, we will make sure that at least one or two team members get over there at the, our sponsors are helping arrange that.
Okay, okay. So Thelma, and maybe, so you've already past the kickoff, right? The kickoff is a 9 to 2:30 event, right? So that's
correct.
On Saturday, the 12th of October. So that's
correct.
You just described basically how people might hear a pitch and then have the opportunity to talk to the authors of that particular challenge. So that's the course of that day. So then, but then subsequent to that particular event, Are the events in person or still pretty much virtual?
Virtual, because it's ironic. Google did so we have two types of workshops, and we have pre-event workshops, and we try to do all the tech training as pre-events so that people are prepared on kickoff to try new things. The same with the information gathering one that the Tyler Hawaii is teaching. Those are things that I want to get in their arsenal ahead of time. So, and then the interim workshops are things that they can learn while they're coding. So that's why those are interim workshops. All virtual. Google did an in-person event this year, and not a lot of people signed up. A lot of people from UH, it was held at UH, and a lot of people signed up there. I think that people like the convenience of being able to go and listen to the presentation, but not having to get up and, you know, go somewhere. So we've been kind of getting the feedback that we're getting more attendance for the virtual events, except for the final, because people are all jazzed to get up in front of the audience and pitch their solutions. The other thing we're doing this year is we're having a post-event meet and greet with the sponsors so that the participants of the event can talk to potential job employers and intern providers. So we're taking this program to the next level, we hope, this year by really emphasizing that these are people who have vetted their skill set by showing that they could create some cool technology.
So I do want to get Chris to Christine to tell us a little bit about how would you suggest in a virtual environment teams to form? Because, you know, you can imagine where if you're in person and maybe you've already scoped out some team members, you know, you could probably pull together a team rather quickly. But if you're doing it virtually, what are some of the advice, maybe tricks of the trade, maybe some thoughts on how you would perhaps go about pulling a team together? So, Chris, before you answer that, I'm going to hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Christine Sakuda, Chief Information Officer, as well as Thelma Elaine, the event coordinator for the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Furniture Plus Design.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Christine Sakuda, Chief Information Officer for the State of Hawaii. And we also have Thelma Elaine, the event coordinator for the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. And right before the break, I wanted to get Christine to tell us your thoughts on how a team might form given the format of introducing the challenges and some of these workshops that take place. Is there an opportunity for, you know, the participants to really get a sense of who their team might be? And does this really have to take place somewhere in the in sort of like the face-to-face world as opposed to, you know, strictly on a virtual?
Well, I'll start, and then I'd like to encourage Selma to add too.
Okay.
And
yeah.
You know, Bert, you and I had kind of co-chaired the broadband HUI on Zoom for several years, and it has been amazing to see all of the tools that are enabled through video teleconferencing, like Zoom, like Teams, that allow participants to get to know one another. Rapidly. And so, you know, I think with the arsenal of different tools, the breakout rooms, you know, leveraging the chats to find common interests quickly, if it was only on a video teleconferencing system, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity to do that. And in fact, when I've participated, it can be a little scary, you know, for people to come together very quickly virtually, but so much energy is generated out of that, you know, and that relationships form quickly. So it's really been a big asset, you know, to have that kind of capability, you know, to put teams together, you know. But I welcome Selma to add any more input as far as what she's found by, you know, administrating the last couple of hacks through video teleconferencing.
A lot of the teams form around their college buddies and classes, as well as the high school CS classes and clubs. That's the majority of our program, our team formation. We do have individuals who go, I really want to participate. So what we did is we have a Slack network, Workspace, and we have asked, we have a channel that's for team formation, and we have created special questions for their profile so they could say which challenge they're interested in, whether they're looking for team or they're looking for teammates, and, you know, what their skill sets are, so that they can do that. Plus, we've been working with some of the local organizations like Purple Maya and P.E.K.U. And they have their focus on UX design, and they have offered if teams need UX developers or designers that they could join their team.
We're
going to be doing some work around that, and we talk about that to some degree at the kickoff to help them figure out what to do.
Now, Thelma, before you, I do want to give you a chance to, can you share a little bit about what potential challenges are going to be presented?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Why, is that a secret?
I can tell you what the titles are.
Okay, yeah, no, that's good.
I can tell you what they're about, because the reason is because we want it to be a level playing field, and everybody learned, we released them on October 7th, the details.
Okay.
But I can tell you there are six challenges. One is from UH, a digital navigator.
Okay.
Tyler Hawaii is putting together a Hawaii AI concierge bot. ETS is asking a citizen portal for the open data to be developed. Bert is actually one of our challenge sponsors this year. He is creating a digital equity dashboard.
Wow, what a great idea.
Yeah, very great idea. Hui Manaoku is creating a Hawaii birds game, and I won't give you any other details by that, but it's going to be really cool. And Hawaii KK Museum is doing an energy usage display app. So.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And you're really kind of encouraging I guess some of the computer science classes are going to get involved. I think HPU is also getting involved. And you're putting the word out to some of the high schools across the state to, you know, get involved. So it is a statewide. And I think, you know, from what you've just described, I mean, having it be done virtually, you know, I've used this term before. The technology helps to make it equitable in terms of access, because you don't have to just everybody have to fly to Honolulu to actually participate in this. So I think that's the great benefit. So what else are you going to do before now and the kickoff? I mean, is this one of the sort of the main kickoff announcements for the Code Challenge?
Yes, but we do have three more workshops, pre-event workshops coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Two next Thursday. That's the Salesforce AI and the Tyler Hawaii data gathering workshop. One is at 3:30 and the other one is at 5 o'clock. And then on Saturday is the workshop by eWorld for the serverless app development. So those are three really cool workshops coming up. All that information and ability to register is linked on the hack.hawaii.gov website. Everything is there. So anything you want to know, plus registering for the actual kickoff is there as well.
So Christine, are you pretty much leaving it up to Thelma to, you know, fill the pre-event workshops? Are you helping to help, you know, sort of get the word out? How is it that you're sort of tapping your network to let people know that, you know, this thing is actually happening now in terms of the pre-event workshops?
Well, I am tapping my network with you on Bite Marks Cafe. plug.
Well, that's a great. I really appreciate that. No, that's good.
I mean, we've been doing this for so long now. I mean, honestly, I am leaving the coordination in the capable hands of Thelma and the ETS team. There's a whole bunch of people from a whole different bunch of branches here at ETS that really support the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge in a variety of ways. And so I think, you know, over the years, the richness of the workshops has evolved. And I think we've listened very carefully to what the participants have wanted, you know, and we bring in technology capabilities to help them work through the technology components of the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge, but also the soft skills, the leadership, the presentation capabilities that really are required to help, you know, technology leaders thrive and young and up and coming or experienced technology leaders thrive. And so the workshops are just wonderful. And so they've been curated really, you know, over the last couple of years to really meet the needs of the participants that I'm really excited about.
No, this is really great. And I'm really looking forward to it. And, of course, these events are taking place as we speak, but the kickoff is on October 12th. Christine, where can people find out more information about the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge?
They can find information on our website at hacc.hawaii.gov.
Very good. Christine Sakura, Chief Information Officer for the State of Hawaii, and Thelma Lane from very beginning, the event coordinator for the Hawaii Annual Code Challenge. And this is going to be a good one. And of course, you know, there's going to be a really good challenge pitch about digital equity. I don't know. I just have the feeling. I want to thank you all for joining us. Thanks, Thelma. Thanks, Christine.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
And of course, thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll find out about tech and the Lanai Conservation Program. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.